Shane Safran, who claims to be a friend of Yoshua Siegel, is sitting to my left, and he says that the boys who are going to be joining me in a few minutes from the north are actual colleagues of his. These are guys you went to yeshiva with here at Yeshiva HaKotel, and then watch them go up in the reserves to fight for our people.
Right. So we were actually all in the Army together. We drafted in March 2018 to Hadassah Karavit, Combat Engineering. Wow. And the way it works now in Israel, lone soldiers don't do reserve duty by default, and you have to opt in. So five of them opted in, mostly Simchas Torah, and they went up north to Lebanon, and we've been down here securing the fort in Yeshiva.
And some of them are going to join me coming up.
Three of them, yeah, Mirz Hashem.
They literally were up north today.
Yeah, they just got off for 20. Right now, the Army's letting people off for 24-hour shifts, so they're off for their 24 hours.
I wonder if that gives us an indication of when things are really going to start, since they're on these 24-hour shifts, because we don't stop getting, as you know, we're somewhat connected, and we don't stop getting reports about when this ground offensive is scheduled to start. And I know that, you know, you have no idea who's actually correct and who's not, but things are heating up. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, definitely.
And you claim to be a friend of Yoshua Siegel, which I find to be fascinating. You remember the days when he was dominating the base medrash activity here at Yeshiva.
Definitely dominating the base medrash.
And now you get to spend time with Gavri Siegel.
Baruch Hashem, what a schus.
What's that all about?
Fantastic.
Is it? Of all the experiences you've had at Yeshiva, that's near the top, huh?
It's number one.
You're also involved in securing vests, not only for your colleagues, but other Israeli soldiers as well, which we'll discuss in a moment. You're joined by Yishai Feinmesser, who's from London, England. Boy, I'm being serious now for a second. I know you worry about what's happening in New York, and you probably hear about the college campuses around the United States, but England has always been very passionate when it comes to Jew hatred. Agreed?
Yes, very much
you grew
so.
You grew up in London?
I did grow up in London, yeah.
Where the Middle Eastern presence is generally not Jewish and Israeli, right? You can walk in London for 10 minutes and not see what looks like an English face,
you
correct?
Can. You know where I lived exactly, not my street. But
what neighborhood is that?
I lived in Edgware. If you've heard of Edgware.
Yeah, it's a Flatbush of England. We do this all the time. Golders Green is Borough Park. Edgware is Flatbush. We do this all the time. So, but I do worry about that. Does your family tell you about, you know, what's happening up there?
And so thankfully, a lot of my family actually live here now.
Wow.
A few years ago, my parents and my siblings moved here. They're in Yerushalayim here, they live.
Wow.
I've got grandparents here also in Netanya. But, yeah, I've got a brother who's in university currently in Cambridge, and they're experiencing all sorts of...
Yeah. Plus, regular on-the-street Jew hatred demonstrates itself constantly there, it seems. Unless, again, we're not there, so it just seems that way to us. But
yeah, it's definitely one of those things when you're there, you don't quite feel as much as they report it, but it's definitely there.
I hear that. What about Montreal? Are they having episodes up there or not?
Not that I know of.
No? Family still there?
Yeah.
All right. Let's start with Yishai, because he's helping coordinate this general effort of helping soldiers. Look, you guys saw... You saw people leave this yeshiva and literally go to the front at a moment's notice. How could you not be helping them? How could you not be sympathetic to those, not just the yeshiva students from here, but everybody who's now serving in the Israeli army? What type of activities and initiatives have you undertaken, aside from the vests, which we'll talk about, to help the Israeli soldiers?
Right. So immediately everyone sort of on Simchas Torah was a bit hectic. Everyone grabbed their stuff and ran. So Right. Straight after Simchas Torah, we sort of coordinated, worked together to get a list of everyone that had gone, everyone from HaKotel and that was in HaKotel alumni, but Grimm, to get a list of the people that had gone up, to get their contact information, get everything.
Current and alumni, I assume.
Yes, correct. Current and alumni.
Which is a lot in a place like this.
We have alumni from over 20 years.
Wow. Right. So we have a list of about 70, 80 current soldiers that we're trying to help. So we got their
more than that?
He wants me to say that we got their Hebrew names as well, so we can match
those
up.
Those lists are being distributed, which is unbelievable.
Yeah. So we got a list of all those chayalim, and then the first thing that we did was we basically got all their contact information, reached out, and said like, what did you not manage to get? What can we get for you?
And then so this is not going to the supermarket and assuming they need. You literally have a list of what they actually need.
As best we can. We're also sending stuff that we assume they need.
I get it, but I'm saying you're really, you know what they really need up there.
A wide range of things. And then the last 2 weeks has been trying to get it out there, sending things up south, down, up north, down south constantly. Other things we're working on, we got all their Hebrew names. We tried. We got everyone in the every Talmud in yeshiva to pair up, right, so to speak, with a soldier to keep in touch with them.
Didn't you leave certain seats empty in the yeshiva?
Yes. So they printed out the current
students, right?
Yeah, the names of current students and put them in their makom in the base of Medrash.
That's pretty amazing.
Waiting for them to come back.
Yeah. Oh, it's still like that?
Yeah,
it is still like that, yeah.
Right now.
Oh, gosh, I'll tell you. All right, so now let's talk. So that's obviously a very big effort, and I assume the hardest part is to find someone to drive this stuff to where it needs to get to, right?
Funnily enough, that's proved to be one of the easiest things.
Thank God.
The beginning, that was our concern. You know, at the beginning, it was everyone's terrified to leave their homes. How are we going to get stuff all the way to the northern, southern borders? But Baruch Hashem, there's endless people offering and people reaching out saying, if you need someone up north, you need someone down south. We know some people up north able to do so. So it's proved actually that part of it easier than we would have
imagined. Is it likely that these boys that we're going to meet are going to bring stuff back to their bases?
Yeah, we have packages for them waiting in the base managers.
Yeah, so that's helped now. People are getting off so we can give them stuff to take to them and to their other soldiers up there as well.
They can't even stay for Shabbos, huh? That's the reality, right? Yeah. They're going back before
24
Shabbos.
24 hours and, yeah.
All right, Yishai Feinmesser is here. Now Shane Safran with us, and let's talk about the vest. It's one of the first things we were told in terms of serious stuff that people need here, right? There's obviously a list of a lot of different things, and I know the barbecues are very important. I'm not minimizing. No, but I'm serious. I'm not minimizing those at all. I think they're important for morale and important to feed soldiers who are on the front. But when we heard about the vest campaign, my gosh, when they're not being protected properly, you just want to jump into action to get them to get as many vests to these soldiers as possible. So tell me about all this. How has this been coordinated? Obviously, Rav Rimon has had a big role in this. How many vests have we been able to get out there? What's happening now?
So as Yishai said, we reached out to all the soldiers and asked them exactly what they need. And anyone who told us they need a vest, they need a helmet, they need any tactical equipment, that was the first thing we put on our list. We were able to, with the thanks and the help of Rav Rimon and Rav Tarrigan, to coordinate an effort to get, we received as a yeshiva, 24 vests. Ceramic bulletproof vests. We immediately sent 5 out to the southern border on Gaza itself, gave it to soldiers there who didn't have who need. And then we started coordinating, getting it to soldiers across the country. We sent 5 vests up north. We sent 5 vests down south near Hebron. And we sent 5 vests in the Efrat Gush area where people were called in from Ilium and didn't have the right equipment. It's really just been about figuring
out. Well, we were told that Rav Rimon is not ordering these vests in the hundreds, that they're just trying to make them as fast as they can.
I was told that the shipment we got was 500.
Right.
I'm aware there's another shipment that came in, I think, at the beginning of this week, another couple hundred, and it's really just getting it out to the soldiers. I think the biggest thing was, and no one saw this coming, that they sent out a call for reservists and it was 140% turnout.
Right.
They were anticipating 60 to 80. Yeah. When you have such a high turnout, Baruch Hashem, 140%, the army just didn't have the equipment for so many soldiers.
And these vests are very protective, thank God, right? These are really state-of-the-art.
These are ceramic, full protection front and back vests. The army, everything is to the army standard.
Right, to their specifications. Is it all about money now? Is it because we're obviously, especially since the campaign has been named for the Peretz family, with what they're going through, we've been promoting it as much as possible. Is it all just about money now? Where the more money there is, the more vests are going to be distributed to these soldiers?
I think so. I think at this point, a lot of the vests have come in, but I think it's still about just raising the funds and getting the vests that we can get to get to the soldiers that need. There are definitely soldiers that need. We actually got a text this morning, 4 more soldiers, Hakoto alumni, who are looking for vests. Our stockpile here is diminished, so we're waiting to get more shipments, and it's really just about getting as much money to the vests as possible so we can get as many vests as possible to put them on our soldiers.
The best part of this conversation is that you have definitive information in terms of what they need. That's the best part of this. You know exactly what it is. Do you know what's in the packages? What's being sent in terms of what they actually need? And Shane, you could also
speak. Shane, you could speak. Whispered in my ear, you could speak.
We had, what you had said, the biggest thing is really figuring out what the soldiers need. We had one soldier, a good friend of ours, texted us. We said, what can we get you? We have someone coming. What do you need? And he said, really, we have everything you can ask for on the base, but there is absolutely no milk in the country, and we don't have milk.
Wow.
And everyone wants milk. So we sent with the driver 2 cartons of milk and the pictures and videos of the soldiers. And that's the biggest thing, is to figure out exactly.
Yeah.
It doesn't help to throw things at them if it's not what they need. So we know what they need. They need milk, and they need vests.
At the moment,
vests and helmets.
At the moment, those are the 2 of the many things on their list that they need. Well, kol kavod to both of you, Shane Safran and Yishai Feinmesser. And continue. Look, I want everyone out there to help with the vest campaign. It's mizrahi.org/tsevetperez. Mizrahi.org/Tzevet, T-Z-E-V-E-T-P-E-R-E-Z. And it's obviously named for Daniel Perez and his crew that's still missing since the first day of the war. We all know this. Give as generously as you can and help them just distribute vests, life-saving vests to soldiers in need. And in general, those of you who want to help soldiers take on initiatives like this and support the work that Yishai, Shane, and so many of their colleagues are doing at this point. I thank both of you very, very much. Kol hakavod, as they say. And thanks for joining us today. Students, madrichim, members of Yeshivat HaKotel who are doing as much as they can during these very difficult times.